Well, good morning, everybody. I want to extend a warm welcome to you all, particularly any visitors that are with us today. I see Nelson has one of his beautiful daughters with us today. Hi, Tick. And any other visitors that are with us today, I know that we have a parent making sure that his son's going to preach the proper word. Welcome to Nigel's parents. So I'm John Garrett, and I also like to mention the streamers that might be with us today. Welcome to you. So we're all here on a special day worshipping our Lord and Saviour. Now, during the week, I had an email from a very lovely person who said that I'm incredible. And if these type of emails keep coming, I'll probably start believing that. But I looked up incredible, and it says unbelievable as well. So I thought, well, the only person that, or I'm thinking of a word that's not a person, because it's not, because our Father God is, I would say, could be described as incredible, who provides us with grace, love and forgiveness. And unfortunately, a lot of people find him unbelievable, because they just can't believe what he can do for humanity. So that's my little give today from my book of quips. Now, we've got to just celebrate a few things. Oh, school's going back. Imagine a few parents will be celebrating that. There's invitations have gone out for our 40th anniversary. Coming up in August, late August, and there's these go out to a number of people who have been involved with the church and the homes, and we just make sure that you get your RSVP in so we can make sure there's enough seating and enough food for you when you get here. looking ahead this week, we've got Jesse's funeral at the bowling club on Tuesday at 2 o'clock, so be aware of that. And there's the toy library are looking for volunteers to clean the toys. Now, they're not dirty, but they just need to be wiped over for health reasons. So if there's a lot of people away on holidays who do that work, and we just need a few volunteers, so if you can mention that to Marg, she would welcome that. And now we proceed to the opening of our service. And we have a call to worship. We come to worship in the name of Christ, whose love and compassion never fail. We gather to hear a word of truth and life, seeking wisdom and the will of God. Let us be one in mind and spirit, that all of the world may know that God is love. Let us pray. Holy God, whose wisdom shapes the universe with awesome wonder, fill us with your spirit of power and peace. May we hear the truth of your word. May we discern your call on our lives. May we know again that we are your beloved children. Receive our worship, we pray. Amen. And we now have our first song from our wonderful band led by Tori, Here I Am to Worship.
To save out your heart, God. Well, good morning, everybody. We are here to worship today. And there are so many ways we worship our Lord every day in the way we think and what we do and what we say. And today, as we prepare to hear the word, we have opportunity to think of an opportunity that comes to us in 12 days' time. In 12 days' time, our community is hosting a very special workshop that has been organised by our senior pastoral assistants. And so I thought it might be good to give you the opportunity to hear from one of our senior pastoral assistants about this particular activity that will be happening here. So I'd like to invite our chairperson from our senior pastoral assistants, Vic Forward, and I'd love to have a chat with him today about what's coming up very soon. Thank you, Vic. Good morning.
Thank you.
Which seat would you like today? You'll take that one? So, Vic, coming up in 12 days' time, we've got a wisdom and well-being workshop that we are hosting here. Why, Vic, did senior pastoral assistants feel led to organise such an event here?
What a good question. And I've got my written answer so that I don't forget anything. So, as the SPAs were considering the congregational goals for this year, and which are rest, reflect and connect, we discussed some of the issues in society today, such as anxiety and depression, and wondered if there was a way we could help people in our community who were troubled or just struggling. And Dr. Andrew Root, do you know that book that he wrote?
Yeah, we were reading that together last year, weren't we?
Yeah. The Congregation in a Secular Age, and there were lots of words in there I didn't understand.
It was a very academic book, that one.
But in it, he points out that depression is the canary in the mine shaft. And you would know that saying, canary in the mine shaft for society in this day and age. And so we as a senior pastoral assistant thought that a workshop on personal well-being would be a step in the right direction for our community.
Wow. So it's been developing for a long period of time by the sounds of it.
It's been brewing,
It's
yes.
been brewing away amongst our senior pastoral assistants for some time. So you're bringing in a doctor by the name of Dr. Paul Wetham. Now, what expertise does he bring to us that might be beneficial to us as a community, but not only us, but the wider community around us?
Yeah, I had to investigate that question somewhat. But Dr. Paul Wetham is a Christian clinical psychologist who is quite experienced in counselling people in their Christian walk, but he's passionate about neuroplasticity. That got me.
Okay, neuroplasticity.
And getting the brain to change, reorganise and grow. And he's also passionate about creating an environment where we thrive through dialogue and discovery. He did his PhD research on loneliness and has over 30 years of teaching and counselling experience. Previously, he lived and worked in a residential community settings, written numerous books and worked at the university as a director of counselling. Now he trains Soul Talk mentors in South Australian community centres and online, and we're blessed to have him available here on Friday, the 2nd of August at 2 p.m. Mm.
So we've got someone coming into our community to lead this workshop that has a lot of experience and expertise that we can learn from, and there's bound to be something for everybody in that workshop. Why do you think we should be coming along, Vic, as church members? Why should we be coming along?
Yeah, well, I thought about that, and I can really only talk for myself. And I find in life there's always something more to learn, and personal well-being seems to be ignored to a degree in my life. I'm really looking forward to finding out how Dr. Wetham leads the workshop in this quite personal area. Mm. So I encourage you all to consider taking this opportunity, and it's free, but donations are possible on the day.
There's nothing like having another tool in our toolkit that can help us to think better and respond better to the circumstances that life brings our way.
Yeah.
But is this little workshop that only goes for an hour and a half just for church attenders?
No.
No.
For the whole community. This community event is for men and women and sponsored by our church, and I have even advertised this event at our Parowa Agricultural Bureau that covers most of the farming communities across the Fruio. And you know, farming goes through its big ups and downs, and it's a really struggling time where we're asset rich and cash poor. And so even though farmers are rich in many ways, a lot of them are struggling to put food on the table even because they haven't got the cash to live with. So spread the word. It's for everyone, and I think we can all benefit from I'm looking forward to benefiting from what Dr. Paul Witham has for us on Friday the 2nd at 2 p.m.
Thank you, Vic. So if any of you are involved in any community groups and you would love to share the word with them, there are a stack of flyers sitting on the table in the library space, the book nook, and you please take them, share them with your networks in the community, because there are many who will benefit from gaining a little bit of extra tools for their toolkit as they think about how do we face the challenges of life. It will be a special time. Let's just pray for this event now, asking that this may be a time of growth for us and for our wider community. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the inspiration you gave to our senior pastoral assistants to create this workshop. And we thank you that Dr. Paul Wedham accepted the invitation to come and speak at this workshop. We just pray now that as we talk with others in the wider community, that you may give us the courage to invite them to come along and participate for their growth and for their well-being too. Lord, we seek to be a community that honours you by bringing hope and healing and well-being to many. So, Jesus, we give this to you, knowing that you can do great things through it. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Vic. God bless you. Let's now seek to hear God's word, knowing that through his word, Jesus brings his well-being to life in us.
The first Bible reading comes from Ephesians chapter 2. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from Mark. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried those who were ill on mats to wherever they heard he was, and wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside. They placed those who were ill in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say,
pray for the offering. Receive these gifts, O God. Let them be used to ease the burdens of others. May they be a sign of our love for you and one another. Amen. And now a prayer for Nigel. Father, we thank you for Nigel and his love of you and for your word. Also for his obvious focus on the cross and his preaching of the saving grace of Jesus. Continue to guide and inspire him so that we who hear and believe can receive the blessings and peace of his message today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, John. Well, friends, I bring grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right now we're in a season where we've been focusing on the Gospel of Mark and enjoying each of the readings that are set down for each of the Sundays from the Gospel of Mark. And this week we're into Mark chapter 6, towards the end of it. But you will notice as we look at Mark chapter 6, we are skipping a great big chunk of it. We're skipping a whole section that speaks about Jesus feeding the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water. You might think, why are we skipping those parts right now? Well, it just so happens that after this Sunday, our Bible reading plan has a small little change to it. This is the last Sunday for a little while that we'll be focusing on the Gospel of Mark. Because for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be focusing on John chapter 6. And guess what we find at the beginning of John chapter 6? The story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water. So you just have to hang out till next week to hear that part of Mark chapter 6. For those of you who've been following the journey, though, you will notice that 2 weeks ago, we found ourselves early in Mark chapter 6, hearing of Jesus sending out his 12 to do amazing things. And then today, at the beginning of the reading which Nicole read for us, we hear of these 12 returning to hang out with Jesus once again. They've come back from their little ministry and preaching tour. And they meet with Jesus and report back to him all that they had taught, all that they had done, that he had given them authority to do. And what had they done? They had preached a message of repentance and seen people repent. They had cast out demons. They had anointed the sick, and the sick were healed. They had done amazing things under the authority and in the name of Jesus. But notice the title that the gospel writer Mark uses for these people, these 12, as they return to hang out with Jesus. Mark now refers to them as apostles. This is the one convincing time in the Gospel of Mark that Mark chooses to use this title, apostles, for these 12. An apostle is a messenger, a delegate, a person commissioned by another to represent them in some way, in a particular time, in a particular occasion. And so earlier in Mark 7, we hear of Jesus sending out his 12, and now as they come back, they are coming back from doing their apostolic work that they were sent to do. And they eagerly report back to Jesus all that they had done and all they had taught. Apostles. You may also notice, as Nicole was reading to us, that the place where Jesus and his disciples, now Mark's calling them the apostles, are meeting together to have this conversation is a busy place. People are coming and going. It's so busy that Jesus and his disciples don't even have a chance to eat. And so Jesus simply shares this beautiful invitation that we will focus on today. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. To get some rest means to pause. In fact, in the original language, you can see the word pause hiding in the word. To get some rest means to pause, to take a break from the work you were sent to do, in order that you may be refreshed, recharged, and ready for what happens next. It's as if Jesus is inviting his disciples to take on the same pattern which we see way back in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis 2, in the story of creation, we see God creating. And when he had finished his work, he rested. He'd rested from his work of creating all that he had done. And similarly, here now, Jesus invites his disciples to experience a pause moment. And how were they to do it? By getting away in a boat with him. Away from the crowds, and to hang out with Jesus for a while in the boat. You probably can't see it there, but on the horizon there is a little boat. The arrow's there to help you spot it. Can you imagine Jesus and his disciples hanging out in the boat together away from the crowd? It may have been a quiet, solitary time. But I also notice that this invitation that Jesus gives comes to the disciples after a time when they were active. They had been in a season when they were actively working under the authority of Jesus, doing amazing things. It's after that period of time of action that Jesus invites his disciples to pause, to rest, reflect, reconnect, so that they may be ready for what God has planned for them next. Still for us today, it is so important that you and I learn healthy rhythms in life, that we may be able to create balance in our life too, by resting, reflecting, and reconnecting, so that we may be ready for what God has planned for us next too. That's been a theme of ours this year. But many of us will admit that pausing and resting well is in fact something that we find hard to do for a variety of reasons. So I wonder what we can learn today from our gospel reading about pausing and resting well. As I pondered that question this week, the first thing that came to my mind was the fact that these disciples only had that short time on the boat before the situation changed. So pausing and resting well is only ever for a season, a short period of time. When Jesus and his disciples hop into that boat, they experience a short period of rest in the quiet and solitary place. Think of this moment that we share right now. Our coming together for this time of worship is a little bit like getting into the boat with Jesus and taking that pause moment from everything else that's happening in our life. It's so good to pause and be with Jesus. Doing so helps us get ready for what God has for us next. But the pause that Jesus and his disciples share together doesn't last long, because the people everywhere were now seeking out Jesus, wanting Jesus to help them. And so you can picture when Jesus hopped onto that boat, the people on the shore realized that Jesus was going around to the other side of the lake. And what do? They run ahead of him around the side of the lake to meet him when he makes landshore. Today, I want you to notice two things from our reading. The first is, what a privilege it was for those disciples to take a break with Jesus on the boat. Will we value the opportunities we have to take a break with Jesus? And the second point is to notice the change in action that has taken place in the life of the disciples. When Jesus earlier sent them out on their mission, They were the ones who were preaching. They were casting out the demons. They were the ones who were anointing people for healing. But when we see Jesus arriving on the shore on the other side, the disciples are no longer the active ones. Jesus is. For when they arrived on the other side, they were greeted with the crowd, and it was Jesus who responds to the presence of the crowd with amazing compassion and love. Verse 34 says, Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It's Jesus' sense of compassion, that gut-wrenching compassion for the people, that leads him to teach them so many things. And just maybe that is what Jesus wants of us in this moment. Maybe this is what Jesus wants to do for us so that we may be fed and refueled and ready again to go out into the world to continue in his ministry still today. Maybe this moment is to be a reminder for us of how important it is not to just value our action in the name of Jesus, but also to value the privilege of resting in his presence, to pause from whatever our ministry might be, and to receive for ourselves his teaching, that we may be ready for what he has for us next. So often, though, we find ourselves thinking we know best how to rest. We might think that resting means living a life of leisure before the next period of action. But maybe the best rest is not actually simply thinking about our own pleasures and leisures, but it's about putting ourselves in that special position where Jesus can teach us and feed us physically and spiritually. So my thought for you today is this. Maybe Jesus wants to show us that the best way that you and I can rest and be refreshed and ready to participate in the mission that he has prepared for us, the mission that God has for us, maybe even in this coming week that lies ahead, is by willing to sit and be his students, to sit at his feet, to rest there, and learn from him. None of us can keep doing and giving without recharging. If we try, we will be the ones who burn out. And maybe some of us have experienced that to different levels in our life already. It's good for us to learn and appreciate those moments when we can pause and rest from being the doer, from being the teacher, from being the proclaimer or the performer or the parent or the worker, and simply remember who we are. That we are, as John said this morning, children of God. That we are too people who need Jesus. That we ourselves are students of Jesus. Jesus knows the need that you and I have for rest. And he responds with compassion. He responds with love. And he gives us rest by teaching us the saving grace of God. As I look back over my life so far, I will recognize that there are so many ways maybe I have tried to rest. But I've discovered that some of those ways of resting actually make you more restless. I've discovered that probably the best way to actually rest is by allowing myself to be positioned again as the student who sits at the feet of Jesus and will receive his teaching again and again. Jesus teaches us by his actions how we can show compassion to others just as he has shown compassion to us. And Jesus teaches us through the Psalms that God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. No one offers compassion like Jesus. No one in the world of the day that Jesus walked showed compassion the way Jesus did. I imagine the world that Jesus walked in was one where if you were weak, if you were vulnerable, you had to suffer alone. But Jesus did it differently. He showed compassion to those who were in need by teaching them many things, by helping them, by feeding them, as we will hear about next week, and by healing them. Jesus shows compassion for people's health and well-being. Will we do the same? As we pause and notice what Jesus did, Jesus will teach us how we can show compassion to those who are weak and vulnerable, even today. We too can support each other in our own weakness, in our own vulnerabilities, to be people who build each other up. And I pray that this will be what our Wisdom and Wellbeing Workshop may enable in our community even more so when it happens in 12 days' time. Now, in the last part of our gospel reading that we've heard today, we've seen Jesus showing compassion to the people by teaching. We'll hear next week about how he showed compassion by feeding the 5,000. And now he's crossed back over to the other side of the lake. And here even more people have come to Jesus. They've put their hope in him. Everyone recognizes Jesus when he gets out of the boat. And the people are running to Jesus, bringing the sick to him, believing that he can make a difference for them. The people beg Jesus to even let him touch the edge of his cloak. And amazingly, all who touched were healed. It reflects back on the story we heard several weeks ago of the woman who touched the edge of Jesus' garments. But can you imagine the frenzy that would have been in that space? Wherever Jesus went from village to village, people just coming towards him, seeking his help, his compassion, his healing. Previously, for that short time, Jesus' disciples had been doing this ministry of preaching and teaching and healing. But in this section, we don't hear of Jesus' disciples doing this. It's Jesus who is doing this. At this time, the disciples are simply invited to observe, to rest, reflect, reconnect with Jesus, and then learn to follow him. We see a similar pattern in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus sends out another group, a group of 72. He sends them out on a mini mission. And on their return, when they report back to Jesus the amazing things they saw happen, we find the gospel writer just pauses there and continues to follow the pattern of Jesus and Jesus' teaching and ministry. Next time we hear of Jesus sending out his students with authority to preach and to minister is what we see in the after Jesus' resurrection, after his ascension. Jesus sends out his disciples in the power of his Spirit and in his authority to continue his ministry. There they put their faith in Jesus. They sensed Jesus calling them to minister in his name. And that's exactly what we see happening time and time again in the book of Acts. And so each Sunday, as we gather together, we might spend this short time with Jesus in the boat, in a boat that we might call the church, and the worship of the church, in the church. And here Jesus shows compassion to us by showing us his means of grace. As we are sent out, may we also find opportunities to minister in his name. And may we also look forward to those opportunities when we can come back again and rest and discover again what Jesus would have for us at his table. May we always accept those invitations of Jesus to come back, return, and rest with him. For he will again send us out, knowing that he has shown compassion to us and that we can show compassion to others too. May you always trust that Jesus is your good shepherd to lead you both in your work, in your rest, and maybe also in your play, and all to the glory of God. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal.
please join me now as we pray as a community together. Loving God, we worship and adore you. The grandeur of the cosmos reveals your beauty. The wonder of mountain ranges and gleaming forests inspire us, showing all your awesome presence. We praise you for your loving care and provision, acknowledging that all good gifts express your love for all that you've created. You bless us with compassion and kindness, caring for us as your beloved children. We know that there is nothing that can separate us from your love, and the very thought of it fills us with awe. We thank you for our pathway with you. Sometimes it's rocky and uneven. At times there are mountains of awe and valleys of darkness and confusion. And yet you honour us with your presence. Sometimes we are distracted by the pathway of the rocks and heights and depths. Yet today we wish to give thanks, for it is us who turn from your face. Thank you for your constant presence as we wish to journey in your company. We pray for our community, the various ministries you've guided us to deliver, to reach out to those who don't know you. May we be a place of healing and hope. Today we uphold all the volunteers of Messy Church as they prepare for the upcoming Messy Olympics next week. May your spirit lead each volunteer and those whom you will bring on the day. Help us to be a light in the darkness, bringing joy and spiritual renewal through all that we do. We pray for the work of the church and how you guide us to reach out to others in various ways, both seen and unseen. We give you thanks for the upcoming 40 years celebration that our congregation has been in this building. The faithfulness of those who stepped out boldly, trusting your guidance to move to this location. May we be mindful of our history to learn and grow, reaching out as a shining light to all in the future. We pray that all churches may be a place of sanctuary and enable all to find peace and wholeness. We give you thanks for our dear brother in Christ, Jesse, his faithfulness. Wrap your loving arms around his family and friends as they grieve his passing and celebrate his life of serving you through loving, gentleness, humour, courage, boldness and strength in his faith. We pray for our world and the created order, as there are so many places of trauma and ecological disaster. We pray for renewal and restoration. Loving God, where there is hatred and enmity between nations and individuals, we pray that your Spirit will raise up prophets and servants of justice and truth. We long for the day when all might live in harmony together for the common good, pledging to live and work in peace. Grant us the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit that we may rest in Christ, so that in all that we do and say, we might bring honour and glory to you. Amen.
As we prepare to celebrate communion together today, let's take a moment to celebrate also how Jesus puts us right with our Heavenly Father. I'd love to lead you in a prayer, and I invite you to pray along quietly in your hearts as I lead you today. Merciful God, though we might think that we are good and just when we sit in your presence, we know how great our failings are and how much we need your reshaping of our lives. We acknowledge that we too easily lose our way, overwhelmed by the demands of life and the lures of worldliness. Though we fool ourselves into believing that we are secure, we know that life has a way of turning around on us. We look for your peace and perspective for a better way to live. Every day we need your compassion and care, for the demands of life are overwhelming. We confess that too often we live selfishly, ignoring the plight of others. Help us to be more caring. We are sorry for the times we have failed to live according to your commandments, especially failing to show love and kindness to others. Enable us to reflect the life of Jesus in the things we do and say more completely. In his name we pray. Amen. Friends, today we have heard that God is full of compassion and longs to dwell in harmony with us. God has shown his goodness to us in Christ. And so I declare to you today again, your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God's peace be with you. Amen. Trusting in the work of our Lord Jesus, let's pray to his Father as our Father, using the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Loving God, we worship and adore you. We praise you for your care and provision. You bless us with compassion and kindness, caring for us as your beloved children. Thank you for your presence, which sustains us and gives us hope. In all things, we bless your holy name as we celebrate the meal today. And so we remember how our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Today, as we celebrate together, you are invited to come and receive the body and blood of your Saviour in the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of sins and for the encouragement to life eternal. As you come forward, if you're visiting here today, you will simply come to me first to receive the bread, and then, depending on which side of the worship space you've come from, please help yourself to the individual cups. There's wine and then grape juice towards the middle. And our servers will speak the words of blessing to you as you drink before you return via the side aisles. Come, for everything is ready.
I believe in God. trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the
So may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you in body and in soul to life eternal. Go in peace. Amen. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus, that we have had this time together with you in the boat that we call the church. As we now go onto the shore, we ask that you may strengthen us, that we may do the work that you have called us to do, sharing your compassion with a world in need. Thank you for your compassion to us, your grace to us, that we have received again in this meal. We go in your name. Amen. As we go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace. Amen. Let's stand for our closing song.
Just a couple of things. There's prayer on the right-hand side here today. I'm not too sure who's... Marg's going to be there for any special prayers you might wish to have. There's coffee outside and there's a barista. Hopefully they're here today and you'll have a special coffee out in the green room now, it's called, I believe. And a visitor's book, make sure you sign yourself in and out here. Also a big thanks to Tori and the band and all you people at the back desk there looking after the sound and the computer work and the streaming. And now I have a sending out. Let us go with the compassion of Christ, sharing the grace of God to serve and to heal, witnessing to the endless love of God. May all who we do honour God's holy name. And may the truth of Christ be on our lips, the love of God be in our hearts and hands, and the peace of his Holy Spirit fill our souls with compassion, this day and forevermore. Amen. Now go in the hope of the God who made you. Go in the joy of the God who goes alongside you. Go in the love of God who always has and always will dwell in you. Amen. Have a good day.